I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen on, you motherfucker.
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to show 71 of the Bart Cop Radio, as seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the Bart Cop Radio Networks. Oh boy, did we have to toil for you this show. You talk about hard work. This show took forever. It's kind of one long thing that got so long I didn't know what to do with it, so I chopped it up into little pieces and put mortar between the bricks. Bill Maher had a couple of monkeys on his show, and they sat there and gave out lie after lie after lie about Bush and the Iraq War. It bounced around in my head for a couple of days, and I just couldn't let it go unanswered. So I spliced the tape up, and I interjected myself here and there. So maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. But until I get some feedback from you, I'm not going to know. Let's get right at it. Uh-oh, what do we need to start? How about a shot of Chinaco? Well, thanks. I think I will. Everything goes better with Chinaco. Okay, big, big show. It's going to take forever to get to, so let's get to it.
This is www.bartcop.com.
The paperback just came out this week, and he is a regular contributor to the Drudge Report. Andrew Breitbart, right over here. Andrew, how you doing? Thank you for coming in on such short notice. She is the author of The Trouble with Islam Today. Boy, somebody needed to write that book. Irshad Manji, right over here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And you all know this guy, the star of NBC's Law & Order SVU, one of my funniest friends ever, my mentor, Richard Belzer, right over here.
Okay, those were the introductions. I just wanted to get that on the record for whatever it's worth. So if you want to look more up about these people or contact them and attack them, at least you now know who is involved. Let's get into the meat.
The revolution has started. Is there any turning back?
I actually think the worm has turned in the Islamic world. And I can tell you that I'm hearing this from younger Muslims all over the world. In the last 2 months alone, since the purple finger revolution of Iraq, more and more liberal voices are becoming heard.
Well, your bullshit detector should be barking like a chihuahua on Cuervo when you hear that. When the Republicans count a victory as more liberal voices are being heard in the Middle East, well, what does that mean? There were six and now there's eight? We had six liberals and now there are eight liberals? And isn't it funny how being liberal in the Middle East is good, but being liberal in the United States is bad? Liberal has always meant willing to look at new ideas, a reluctance to hold on to the past, a reluctance to look backwards for solutions. Funny how that's a bad thing here and it's a good thing there. But here they are claiming victory because, quote, more liberal voices are being heard. I got an idea. Why don't we bet on that? Why don't we bet Bush's presidency, Bush's legacy, that there's going to be peace in the Middle East? For them to count this as a victory, I mean, it's the top of the first, and there's the first batter was hit by a pitch, and they're out burning police cars in Detroit. No, it doesn't work that way. There's nine innings to this ballgame, cubby. So before you guys claim victory, have you seen this thing, I think it's called Democracy a la Bush, or By George's Democracy, it's something like that, where they're claiming how the Middle East battle is over and Bush did it and Bush is the victor, and the reluctant liberals who won't dare to give to Caesar what is Caesar when Bush has so obviously solved the Middle East. And of course the liberals are in their corner crying, we wish we would have solved it. The assholes. Nothing's been solved. Nothing's been changed. Nothing at all has gone over there except we came in with a bigger army who's semi getting their ass kicked. And because we came in with a bigger army than what Saddam had, for them, meet the new boss the same as the old boss. But what has changed in the Middle East other than instead of a handful of terrorists now, we've turned the Muslim on the street into a let's bomb America guy. That's the biggest change we've had in the Middle East. And all the time, the Republicans are screaming victory. Why in the hell don't the Democrats say, hey, put your name on it. Call this the Bush Initiative. Call this Bush's War. Call this Bush's Decade. Go ahead and put Bush's name on it so when it turns fucking sour like it's going to, like everybody knows you're not going to change 4,000 years of hate because Monkey came in with his bombs. But no, the liberals don't have the brains to do that. What's wrong with them? If the right wants to claim victory, let them put their name on it. Write Bush's name right in the center of the flag. Run that up the flagpole and let's all take pictures. So when it blows up, we say, whose war was it? And then they're going to say, oh no, you guys voted for this war. You guys were, so all of a sudden it's going to be our fuck up when it goes bad. But see, the Democrats, they don't have the brains to put it on Bush. This can't go right. They're not going to have peace in the Middle East. The only one I've ever heard come up with any kind of decent idea about how to get peace in the Middle East was me when I said, why don't the people who don't want to fight leave? But no, that would be contrary to what the Invisible Cloud Being wants. The Invisible Cloud Being wants our children dead, so we're going to sacrifice our children for our faith in the sacred sand. That's stupid. It's ridiculous. But just like in the Middle East, it's never going to change. The idiots who want war, the idiots who want to please God more than they want to see their children grow up, they're not going to change their minds either. Don't think we can all get in a time capsule and come back in the year 2100 and everybody's going to be using their heads. No. 100 years after we're all dead, there's still going to be idiots telling you how great Bush did in the Middle East, but it's all going to be a giant hand job because nobody's ever going to change their mind. As long as we have religious insanity, people are going to choose to make God happy more than they're going to choose to watch their children grow up. Nothing's going to change that. If the liberals would just learn how to bargain, what we need to do, we need to take all the elected liberals and put them in a poker game and teach them how to play pool, teach them how to gamble. You know, something else I had this good idea. You know, you don't always have to gamble for money. What if six men sat down at a poker table and they played a Texas Hold'em tournament and loser had to mow the lawn on a hot August day? Trust me, that will teach you how to gamble because you're going to get tired of mowing the damn lawn on a hot August day while the other five are sitting on the shade on the porch sipping lemonade. You're going to get real damn good at gambling. You're going to know when to go in. You're going to when not to gamble. That's going to teach you something. You're going to learn something if you learn how to play cards, if you learn how to play poker, if you learn how to gamble, if you learn how to play pool. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're a rich boy and you can afford to lose $1,000 in an afternoon. You're not going to learn a damn thing. But when the loser has to go mow the lawn while the other five sit there and watch them, trust me, you're going to get real good real fast. But the Democrats can't figure that out. They keep getting out-hustled at every fucking turn, and it's not going to change until someone stands up and slaps them. If the Democrats would understand, if they would have to mow the lawn when they lose, then they might get a little bit better. But we're going to have to teach the liberals how to gamble. We're going to have to teach them how to debate. We're going to have to teach them how to get the upper hand in a fight if they're ever going to win anything. But so far, geez, you take away Bill Clinton and John F. Kennedy was the last guy to win an election on his own. Johnson didn't do it. He won because Kennedy got shot. And Carter didn't do it. He won because Ford pardoned Nixon. So we got Kennedy back in 1960 was the only guy besides Clinton to win a fight in the last 45 years. Our side can't figure out how to win. The only way we win is by default. If the other team cheats and we win by default, fine. If the other team headbutts us and the referee votes that we won the fight on a technicality, fine. Liberals get the White House. But no, that's the only way. If the Democrats would just label this Bush's war, Bush's initiative, Bush's plan, Bush's adventure, when it all goes sour, it's still going to be Bush's adventure. But they can't figure that out. They're calling this America's venture, America's plan. And when it hits the shit, the Republicans are going to put it on us. This is going to be another one. It's going to hit the shit. They're going to say, well, the Democrats are the ones that sent them in the Middle East. Bill Clinton is the reason why we had to go to Iraq. You watch, it's going to happen. Sure as the sun comes up. Johnny Carson passed away, I mentioned on the page that I wish I'd had that piece of tape where Johnny was talking to Doc, and things got out of hand, and Johnny just was laughing so hard he couldn't get his breath. Well, a fellow named Tom B. sent me a tape of the alleged incident, and I'd like to play it for you. This is Johnny and Doc, one of the funniest things that Johnny ever did, but funny, Johnny was just laughing. It was Doc creating all the humor.
Smoke a herring. Now, Doc, I don't get a chance to talk with as often, but we talked one night when Ed was off, and it was around Thanksgiving, and I found out what a warm, emotional, friendly time of year Thanksgiving meant to Doc. You'll see about his explanation in just a moment.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? We're doing the show, of course, tomorrow.
I was going to ask you if you got your turkey yet.
Sure.
Do you, truthfully, do you help Mrs. Carson prepare the turkey?
Just like you helped Mrs. Severinsen prepare the turkey.
No, there is no Mrs. Severinsen.
Oh, that's right.
There used to be...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
The fact that I never helped her stuff her bird was one of our...
Was your problem? Well, now, you know, I forgot all about that. We've been together so long that I forget sometimes where we are.
Which wife are we on?
On various Thanksgivings. No, we're gonna.
In fact, that was one of the things we really fought about.
What?
I wanted an oyster stuffing in the turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing, and she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
You used to argue about what you're going to stuff the turkey with?
Yes.
And that was one of the problems.
She's still stuffing the turkey with money.
Well, it's nice to know you have no bitterness.
Well, I always used to say, you can have turkey and all that. I don't like turkey that much.
Yeah.
I said, I love lasagna. She calls up every year at Thanksgiving and says, are you having your lasagna?
They don't forget, do they?
No.
I'm sorry about that. Well, we're having a...
You didn't answer the question.
What, are we having turkey?
Yes.
No, I don't help. I don't know about that stuff.
Be careful. Those turkeys, they'll get you.
You're not going to sell
it. I suppose you'll be home with the family having turkey. A typical American family.
That's right. Now, speaking...
I'm just going to the Zodi's Day Parade. Watch Big Bertha come by.
Wow. Look, if you want to... If you really feel badly now, I feel so terrible that you're going to be alone.
I didn't say I was going to be alone.
You just said you ain't going to eat no turkey, right?
That's right.
You could come over there. Would you like to come to the house? And
this is the first time you've ever asked.
Well, you made me feel so guilty.
I mean, you, when you ask an employee in front of 15 million people, do you want to come to the house for Thanksgiving? What am I going to say? No. I say, yes, Mr. Carson, I would love it.
Can you come?
No.
That is beautiful. No.
No. Well, things are much better now in Doc's life. I guess all of our lives.
And you know, it just kills me because Horror NBC was so worried that somebody might take offense. This is 20 years before Donald Wildman, probably, but that bit went on longer. My good friend Tom taped this off of Best Of. And for a couple of years after they did the original bit, when they did the Best Of, they played the whole thing. And then NBC decided, no, that's too much drug humor, that's too much dope humor, that's too much alcohol humor. We can't allow that to be in there. So I'm going to do my best to tell you what is missing. After that part ended, they tried to move on, and Johnny picked up a letter from somebody. And he said, I've got a letter here. Let me see who it's from. And his eyes were scanning up and down the page, And Doc, still in his good humor, leaned over and said, "Generally, sir, it's at the bottom of the page right after sincerely yours." And so Johnny went all back to the floor, doubled over, and he came back up, and then he said, "My gosh, you're funny tonight. Can you give me some of whatever it is you've been doing?" And Doc said, "No, but I can sell you some." And there goes Johnny back to the floor. But NBC decided that was so terrible that the youth of America would be so corrupted if they heard that. That's just a shame.
By the way, are you suggesting that perhaps George W. Bush had a sliver of savvy?
I said it before. Watch our show.
Now, I don't know if Bill is saying stupid things like that to appear to be impartial to the undecideds who are watching, but who in this world is going to say that Bush has half a brain? The best Bush can do is repeat something that someone else told him. Otherwise, he would make sense in a debate. Otherwise, he would be able to take questions from people who aren't pre-screened. Otherwise, he would be able to go to these town hall meetings and actually convince somebody of something. I think it's in this radio show. He's trying to explain something to a member of a town hall meeting, and he just goes in circles. He got lost, and since he can't think, he's got these jumbled ideas in his head. He doesn't know what order they go in. All he can do is memorize the answer. If his little train comes off the track, he's dead meat. That's when he looks to the camera and says, time's up. And again, what is going on in Bill Maher's mind and in anybody's mind? I'll debate anybody on this. I'll debate Randy Rhodes. I'll debate Eric Alterman. I'll debate anybody who wants to tell me that Bush is not a stupid man. If he's not a stupid man, why can't he think at all? He can't answer any question. He can't do anything without a prearranged answer. Christ, if you give me the answers to the most advanced calculus exam that they have at Stanford, if I have the answers up front, I'm going to get an A on the test. I promise. Give me a year to study and 100 answers, I'm going to get 100 on that test. I'm going to be the smartest math whiz in Stanford's history if you give me the answers up front. But if you take away my answers, if you take away the pre-approved script, I don't have a chance. That's what we got here with this monkey in Washington. Why can't more people call a spade a spade? He is a moron. If he wasn't, we'd know it by now.
I've always been skeptical of authority. The so-called experts who say things like, "You need to stop drinking, Mr. Black," and "DNA tests prove it's yours, Mr. Black." But lately, the institutions in which all Americans put their faith are getting harder and harder to trust, like the police department. Two retired New York City detectives were busted last week for allegedly murdering or helping to murder 8 people on behalf of the mafia, while they were active members of the police force. It's a shocking betrayal of trust. Plus, they stole my idea for the next Police Academy movie. The FBI's Pasquale D'Amuro described the suspects this way.
"This was not a case of two good cops who went bad. It seems clear that Eppolito and Caracappa were two bad guys who somehow became law enforcement officers."
Oh, good. I feel better knowing these cops were corrupt going in as opposed to being destroyed by the system. So what tipped prosecutors off? Well, it might have been that one of the suspects published a book called Mafia Cop. Word of advice: if you ever need help, you can call the mafia or the cops. Don't call the mafia cops. They're only going to make things worse. So, two cops worked as hitmen for the mob. At least they are being held accountable. So far, not a single senior Pentagon official has been punished for the horrific acts of abuse at Baghdad's Abu Ghraib prison. Why not? Vice Admiral Albert Church explained.
"I don't think you can, you know, hold anybody accountable for a situation that maybe if you'd done something different, maybe something that would have occurred differently."
Wait a second. I need to hear that one more time.
I don't think you can, you know, hold anybody accountable for a situation that maybe if you'd done something different, maybe something that would have occurred differently.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, that's the definition of accountability. No. There's no trusting the military or the cops. It's every man for himself. Thank God we live in a country where anyone can buy guns. And I mean anyone. A congressional investigation revealed that last year nearly 50 terrorist suspects on federal watch lists were legally allowed to purchase firearms. And as NRA President Wayne LaPierre told CBS, it's shameful. Shameful that those suspects' right to bear arms is being
If it's good enough for the FBI to put them on a terrorist watch list, why isn't it good enough for the NRA to say don't sell them a gun?
Because what is a watch list?
It's a list of suspected terrorists we're watching, in this case, watching by guns. Enforcement officials worry people might be stocking up on weapons to use in a terrorist attack. It's kind of cute, really. Terrorists think they can attack us with conventional weapons? Listen up, Osama. I don't care how long you plan. I don't care how far you go. There's no way you can kill more Americans with your guns than we already do with our own. This is the big leagues, baby.
My pajamas, all right? And I'm giving them to you as a reward for acknowledging something that so many liberals cannot bring themselves to do.
Objection. It's not only the Democrats that think Bush is a moron. His handlers think he's a moron. That's why he can't do press conferences. That's why he can't answer questions. When he walks out on the front lawn and he holds his hand to his ear like, huh, I can't hear you, can't hear the questions, I have to get on the helicopter, can't hear what you're saying. That's what he does because he can't explain. They tell him, George, don't take any questions. They tell him, Mr. President, you're going to go out there, you're going to say X and Y, and at the end you're going to say thank you, you're going to turn, you're going to leave the podium, because we don't want anyone asking you a question because you're too fucking stupid to answer any kind of questions. So we're going to get you the hell off the stage before you say something like, the Democrats consider Social Security some kind of federal program. That's what they have to do. It's not just us that thinks he's a moron. It's the Republicans. It's Karl Rove. It's Karen Hughes. It's kind of Sleazy Rice. Uncle Dick knows he's a moron. Why do you think Uncle Dick had to testify with the first monkey when it came time to talk about 9/11? He can't let that idiot go up there and speak on his own under oath. Are you kidding? Well, Lee Hamilton would have taken care of everything. But that's why he had to speak off the record. No recordings. No transcript. Without being under oath, with Uncle Dick holding his hand. It's not we that thinks he's stupid, it's them. Another thing, they pulled the same scam with Reagan. Talk about, oh, he doesn't get into the details. He runs it like a corporation. He does, you know, the president of Ford doesn't know how to change the oil in a truck. But he knows how to do all the big stuff. Well, that's what they told us about Reagan. That's what they're telling us about Bush. But the truth is, he doesn't know how to change the oil because he's not qualified to do that. He couldn't figure it out if you gave him a book in 6 months. Don't tell us how he's above that, that that's not his style. He can't do the details. One of the many differences between Bush and Clinton is that Clinton knew the details. Clinton could go all night talking policy with you and compare A to B and C to D. And Bush says, well, gee, I don't know. It's whatever Uncle Dick says is the best answer. And all this stuff about, like with Social Security, everything's on the table and we got to work together and go home and talk to your constituents to come back with not ideas on what's wrong, but ideas on how to fix it. All that is a bunch of yabbity-yabbity for I don't know a goddamn thing. Please somebody else come up with an idea, and then me and my advisors will go huddle for 2 weeks and then I'll come back and either veto it or okay it. But Bush doesn't know anything about anything. It's not us that thinks he's stupid, it's them. And Bush knows he's a fucking idiot. That's why he doesn't overrule his advisors. Bush is supposed to be the president of the United States. When they say, no questions, Mr. Bush, he's supposed to say, hey, fuck you, I'm the president. I'll answer any goddamn question I feel like answering. I'm the highest elected officer, well, sort of elected, officer in the land. And if I want to answer questions, I'll answer the damn questions. But no, he can't. Bush knows he's stupid. This isn't a big surprise to Bush.
Well, if you're willing to admit that you were wrong about George Bush, or possibly wrong...
About, in what way? What do you mean? Wrong
yes.
about what?
Excuse
it's a vast question.
Well, I was reading Fareed Zakaria this week, and
right.
smart guy as always, and he said, you know what? He said, the fact that George Bush didn't know a lot about the Middle East
right.
actually turned out to be a virtue. And it's true. I was all over George Bush, like Reagan, for, you know, you don't know much about foreign affairs. And Fareed says, you know what? He knew so little that he could imagine a world that other people mm-hmm. didn't bother to imagine because they were so stuck in their thinking.
Yeah.
And this guy was just dumb enough to say, maybe it could look differently.
Well, you know, I got a lot of respect for Bill Maher, but that didn't make a damn bit of sense. That Bush is so stupid he just might stumble into the Middle East with a new idea. Well, what was his new idea? Let's bomb a backwards country that had nothing to do with 9/11? How the hell is that solving anything? Why is Bill Maher giving Bush credit for doing good in the Middle East? What the hell's wrong with Bill Maher? Like I say, he's right either 8 or 9 times out of 10. He's got that stupid devil on one shoulder, and generally the smart devil wins, but now and then the stupid devil wins, and the stupid devil won this time. The idea, please. If Bush is such a moron that he stumbled into the Middle East with a new idea, what was the new idea?
You know I worked so hard all day long. Everything I try to do seemed to always turn out wrong. That's why I want to stop by on my way home and say,
never get stoned.
Now let me tell you one more thing. Ain't no harm to have a little taste, but don't lose your cool and start messing up the man's place. Ain't no harm to take a little nip, but don't you fall down and bust your lid. No, no. Come on and go with me.
Let's go get some. Oh, let's go get some.
I'm going to tell you one more time what I'm going to do.
Warmongers, the people that said
anti-warmongers.
Right, exactly. The people
summarily
who
dismiss
yes.
anyone who's against the war.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will
ahead.
Summarily dismiss people
what?
Who, for my being supportive of the war, called me Hitler at cocktail parties. It's not a particularly...
Well, now you can tell this guy has been to the Rush Limbaugh School of Argument. He starts out calling everyone who's against the war a warmonger. And when Belzer, I don't know why Belzer has to call him on it. Where the fuck is Bill Maher? It's Bill Maher's job at least to keep the argument down the center of the track. To, you know, if you get off on these wild tangents, you're never going to finish any kind of discussion at all. So instead of Bill Maher taking the lead, Belzer has to jump in and say, whoa, whoa, you summarily dismiss anyone against the war? And now he changes it. He changes it entirely to, you know what it's like to be called Hitler when you're a Jew? Well, no, that's got nothing to do with you calling the anti-warmongers. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? You didn't say, I summarily dismiss the people who call me Hitler and I'm a Jew. Now, see, that's we'll give you that one just to save time. But the idea that when he says, A is bad, and we say, why is A bad? And you say, well, because B did X and Y. Well, no, asshole. A and B are two different things. This is how Rush Limbaugh wins arguments, because his phones are screened so heavily, only the idiots and the diddle monkeys get through. So anybody with a serious point, anyone like myself who might say, excuse me, you started with A and you shifted to B when you got caught. He was on A, and when Belzer caught him, he said, hey, you're lying. He said, oh, well, what about B? Well, no, it doesn't work that way. If you want to talk about B, fucking talk about B. But don't talk about A, and then when you get caught, shift to B. This is another example why they have to lie to win. If A was a problem, then let's talk about A. But as soon as he got caught, he had to change his ways. Belzer made him do that. It's just more proof that any Democrat can out-debate any Republican because the only thing the Republicans have is lies. That thing with the A and the B that the guy just pulled, this is their only argument. They can't argue the facts, so all they can do is try to trick you. And if you let the guy trick you, if the guy says, hey, A and B are the same, and you say, oh, okay, then you've lost. Then now he's just proven to the idiots that you don't know what you're talking about, that the Democrats are liars, and he was telling the truth all the time. But if you're as smart as Richard Belzer, who is no dummy, but I don't know that he's practiced in the political debate arena or whatever, but Belzer caught the guy on it. Where was Bill Maher?
Wonderful thing to be compared to Hitler when you're a Jew.
Sorry.
But what I'll say this is, if you're willing to admit that you're wrong, I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong, and many of the people on my side are wrong, because we thought that the Muslims did not have this in them. We had low expectations of what they expected of themselves.
Had what in them? To continue to repress women, to hate Jews, to hate white people, to hate Christians, to have a theocracy,
maybe that's not true.
And thousands of our kids are slaughtered and mutilated for these people that beat themselves with chains and hate us and detest us, they've had 7,000-year head start on us. They don't have democracy. Who are we to shove it down their throat?
No,
they don't want our democracy.
They want us out of there.
Boy, I got way lost in all that gobbledygook. We'll admit we were wrong if you admit you were wrong, and where we were wrong was that we didn't understand that the Muslims had low expectations of the blah, the blah, the blah, the. I didn't catch any of that, and I don't have time to go back. I did go back and hear it once again, but I can't go through it six or eight times because this guy is a proven liar, and you know he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's going to say anything that Matt Drudge or Rush Limbaugh told him to say, and like the monkey, I don't think he understands the issues. Not that I do, but I'm not invested. You don't see me sitting on Bill Maher as the Middle Eastern expert going to explain everything to everybody, and the only way I can do it is to lie my ass off.
Round, round, get around, I get around.
Round, round, God, Bart.